Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang Podcast, episode 205. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Graham Thickens from Iowa.
Yeah, I'm boogieing down here with the farmers, baby.
And Phil Wilson.
Oombly, 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 oombly.
Very nice. Very nice. I like it.
All right. Yeah. So how you guys doing today?
Great. Awesome.
Good. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So
the covered day, so.
Yeah. Well, the big news this week was
I know. My son is going to state. Yes, it's true.
Oh, for swimming?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Wow. Qualified in three of his four events last night. I'm pretty proud of the band.
That's great. So. Of course, you had nothing to do with it other than announcing and being there to be supportive.
No,
right?
Actually, I didn't announce that. That was okay. The section. So, yeah, I got to, but I was loud, so that's okay.
All right.
The people in front of me were looking at me like, why are you telling your kid to go faster? He can't even hear you.
What high school?
Lakeville North.
North.
Okay. Yeah. Lakeville South actually won the section. Lakeville North came in third, and we're all sending a bunch of swimmers. So we're pretty excited.
Oh, cool.
Sorry, that's all about me. So not enough. I really should stop talking about me. What do you guys think about me?
Well, yeah, right. There we go. Well, so the big news this week was this Google for Entrepreneurs Day at COCO in Minneapolis, and there were some announcements.
Was that really the big news?
Yeah, I think so in the Twin Cities, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we broke it.
There you go. So let's talk about it. How was it? What happened?
Well, it was a large mob of people. I didn't get the count, but man, they had that place set up for it looked like about 300 people or something like that. It was,
closer to 400. It really was.
Really?
Was it? Yeah. And so, Google, yeah, obviously doesn't spare any expense on these marketing events. They had the full production logistics and big speakers and huge screen.
That screen and that stage setup was far too big for the room.
It was. It would have done in the Minneapolis Convention Center. Yeah. It would have been good. It would
have been easy to see that thing from, you know, the back of the convention center instead. It's only about 30 feet. So
we're sitting in the audience and we're all like looking up or craning our necks to look up at this.
We all got kind of a suntan from the...
Yeah, and when we tried to shoot photos, the big screen at the top was so hot, and then the subject matter, the people underneath weren't lit as well, so the photos were tough. But I posted.
No, I think Don was. I think Don Paul was pretty lit. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just
well.
Kidding.
And then for those of us, Tim and I, we were. I got back to my office about 2:20, and I tried to log into the Hangout, and the audio is stuttering so badly. Was the audio the problem for you too, Tim?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and the
video looked okay.
I pinged Don Ball by Twitter, and then also put something on the Google Hangout page, and the woman who was running it, you know, said back, "Hey, we are working on it, and we're going to compile the videos and post them and so on." I haven't been back to see them, but you couldn't watch it live, and I've never seen a Hangout go bad like that, so that was too bad.
Oh.
Well,
you just haven't done enough Hangouts.
Well, probably.
Yeah. You know, it was a fine event. And, you know, the fact that there's a commitment now, a 2-year commitment between Google and COCO to provide services and for entrepreneurs, I think that's always a good thing. You know, once we got past, I think the local speaker aspect, you know, with R.T. Rybeck and Amy Klobuchar and, you know, the panel with local folks on it, you know, it really... It quickly became a pitch for Google services.
Okay. So, okay.
At least that was my overall view of a lot of the sessions. Yeah. Graham, you?
Yep. Yeah. It's mainly a marketing event. Let's face it. They go all over the world to do these things. Yeah. And,
okay.
I mean, it's nice that they chose Minneapolis for one, because they don't go to that many U.S. cities. It almost looked like they go to more non-U.S. cities with these things, but there were informative sessions, and there was at least one that was sort of generally on marketing and not so much hyping Google's products. And there was one on business development that was quite good, I think, for early stage startups. You know, just sort of business development 101 and marketing 101. So it wasn't all, you know, about Google products, but you know, probably 80% of it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it was tremendous. They, you know, and they threw a good happy hour afterwards, and the food was fantastic, and the people were great, and they probably had a team of, what would you say, 10 or 12 people that travel. Least. Yeah.
And so is the intent partially to bring in speakers and content with Hangouts into that venue, or making them available, or what? I kind of missed that.
Well, the Hangout, I think, was more for the outstate people who couldn't get to Minneapolis, but I never really heard how that went. You know, how many people from Duluth or Mankato or Rochester might have been on that. But I did have one of my friends say, why would anybody want to be on a Hangout? Why would any entrepreneur want to be on a Hangout with R.T. Ryback? what's he going to do for him? But, you know, I assume they wanted to have a discussion about entrepreneurship in Minnesota, you know. Yeah.
Well, I think that the overall 2-year commitment, Steve, is really just to give a direct access from Google to, you know, entrepreneurs and startups that are looking for resources for it. And it's just a way for I think, you know, Coco to benefit from Google's, cachet, to say, as it were, but also for Google to benefit, to have direct access to small businesses that are coming up. I mean, if you look at what Google has done in the past 2 years, you know, they had a presence here in Minneapolis for a short period of time, which was really basically an outreach for to small businesses to, you know, offer their services, whether it's websites or blogs or things like that. And then that folded, and I think this is their new tack on reaching out to small businesses and working with the entrepreneurs. I was wondering, you know, I was promised a free Android device. Graham, weren't you? I thought that was everybody got a free Android device after that event, but I guess not. So
I don't need it. I got an iPhone.
With malware or without malware?
Yeah. That's a good one, Steve. Wrote about in my follow-up post was, you know, people were interested in what else is coming from Google, and there was buzz about, well, you know, what about Google Fiber, and nobody knows anything about the chances of that, of course, and I had just seen that the announcement that they'd be opening Google stores, physical stores, in certain cities around the country, and wondering, you know, could Minneapolis possibly be one of those? And I'm sure R.T. Ryback will be lobbying for that in uptown or downtown. So
Google, it'll be Mall of America right there with the Apple store and the Microsoft store.
Yeah.
What if R.T. Ryback has his way?
Well, we've got a guest on today, so let's jump into a couple of other things here real quick. Tap the Cash, the Minnesota Angel Network. You went to that event?
I was going to go to that, and I actually left the Google event early, but I didn't. I couldn't find the damn location, and I gave up. I would have had about 15 minutes, but a startup was there, and he said there were 70 to 75 people, but only 5 angels. It's like, well, I don't know. I guess the rest were like service providers or something, and he said it was pretty hard to get any FaceTime with an angel, but they drank a lot of beer, I guess. It was at Fulton Brewery, where I've never been, couldn't even find. And because I had to hop over to the MEMA event, which was the future of blogging, a guy named Rick Webb, who's
the Tumblr guy, right?
Some sort of an executive or an advisor, longtime advisor to them, might be an investor too. And it was okay. I couldn't believe how many people just showed up at Aria, which can hold a lot of people. They had it set up theater style, 300-400 people, it looked like. Hmm. The guy's talk was sort of a snoozer. I mean, he was just showing all these examples of all the blogs he's ever been involved with. You know, it was like a portfolio show.
So Graham, what is the future of blogging?
He never got to it that I saw. But then I bailed, and they had some sort of a sit-down discussion. But I couldn't wait that long. I had to bail, but I didn't think it was a particularly enlightening presentation anyway. But the ad community turned out to hear it, that's for sure. Mm. So, it was, another big draw kind of an event that MEMA seems to do so well.
I'm so glad all this is going on in the Twin Cities, because for so long, just about everybody that I ran into was clueless about what was happening, with anything to do with social media, Web 2.0, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it was just like just amazingly bad. But Tim, are you there?
I'm here.
Our crypt keeper.
Teams and nonprofits chosen for the overnight website challenge.
Oh, that's right.
We're back in again.
Are you ready?
Fourth year, yeah. Yep. We're ready to roll.
And you haven't gotten your nonprofit yet, right?
You get that in the morning of the event. Yeah, they've chosen there were I think about 30 nonprofits, and there's I think 20 odd teams. I think 28 teams. They narrowed it down to 18 each because the space at the U is just not big enough to accommodate any more teams. So. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's limited to 18 on both sides, and we're happy that we'll be competing yet again.
Yay.
Excellent. Yep. We'll have to pop down again and give you a bad time.
We'll plan on the podcast there again.
Yeah. I sure hope this gets the nerdery some of their mojo back after that nasty announcement of cutting back, which followed immediately after they're going to hire 100 people in 100 days, but...
Right.
We've covered this previously, I guess.
What was somebody making breakfast in the microwave or what?
Somebody's hot pocket is done.
Just popped up. I'm in a hotel room, you know. Cut me a break. I thought I was on mute, but I missed that one. Sorry.
That's all right. That's okay. Well, so
you were talking. How did you think you're on mute?
Oh, that's right. I was on mute before I started talking, but then the buzzer came on before I could mute it again.
Oh, let me have some coffee.
All right. It looks like Graham has got his Shobee in here. So go ahead, Graham. We'll talk about Shobee.
Oh, I didn't put that in there.
Yeah, no, I put it in because we like Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Well,
and
Shobee,
as long as Graham does his disclaimer, you know, we're good. We're good, right?
Okay, so disclaimer.
Well,
disclosure.
There isn't a lot to talk about because you know, it's really just gotten started on Kickstarter, but it's a private photo sharing network with a photo frame that can be paired with any other frame anywhere else in the world. And it's really set up for family sharing, you know, for close-knit families that want to share their private moments and their you know, photos of their kids and so forth without having to go through the hassles or the privacy issues of a social network. So, you know, the idea is the person on the other end might be a grandma or a grandpa or something, you know, they don't have the ability to or interest in trying to, you know, set up an online profile on a social network.
Well, and then to figure out their preferences and privacy and all that. Yeah.
And that's the big issue. You know, I one thing I noticed is I found an online, you know, one of these answer sites, you know, like about.com of how to set up privacy on Facebook. And it was like a 1,200-word article. And I thought, wait a minute, if it takes this long to describe how to do that, you know, and then other people say, no, it's easy. You just, you know, but what happens is your friends and the friends of friends don't necessarily practice good privacy, you know, and so it's, you know, it's a lot of people just do not want to share their kids' photos on Facebook, you know. And so this is an alternative that Farhan Mohammed has been working on for quite some time with some of his team members over at the Fusion Room. Mm-hmm. And they finally decided to put it up on Kickstarter after planning it for a long time. I have a nice video up there.
If you go over to Kickstarter right now, you can actually see that they're underway. They've got 22 backers. They've got $3,600 in the bank, and their goal is $858,750. That's an interesting number to choose.
Yeah, it's a big goal.
It's a huge
number. That's aggressive.
And you know, originally when I first heard he was going to do this, it was nowhere near that. But
well, you know,
when
you
came out with that, I said, hey, wait a minute, you know, it's like, how many projects are even that set that high? And he said, well, he decided to, you know, go big or go home. You know, it's like, it's going to take it takes a lot of money to manufacture a product like this, which is going to retail. There's two sizes, but the frame itself is going to retail, I think, in the neighborhood of, I don't know, 150 to 250, depending on size, maybe a little more than that.
Well, he does have Chuck Olson, A picture of Chuck Olson on.
It looks like Chuck did the video. So
yep.
So VidTiger is working.
Well, we're gonna have to.
Good luck with that.
Let's keep
with that.
We're gonna have to keep going here, boys, because we got to get our guest on.
Just real quick, let's look at Best Buy.
Yeah.
That was the Crypt Keeper. I was gonna, because Tim is on death watch for Best Buy, and
good news.
It looks like somebody got out the paddles and gave him a little jolt. So Tim.
No, I was just going to say, I had to point out some good news. A lot of the analysts are saying that they really like the new management team, and they have started a turnaround of the company. So, when you see that, that is really heartening, because they really do have a difficult they're in a difficult position, and it looks like what they're doing is paying off. So,
yeah,
gotcha. Good on them.
Yeah, it really is good. Because we don't want to see him go away.
No.
So,
when are we going to have
now,
our official Death Watch removal on the podcast? That's
I don't know.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see some more good news.
Yeah.
And now it's time for Steve's security alert of the week.
Okay. Well, so the security alert, I did a blog post. There'll be a link in the show notes. It's about Google Chrome, and this also goes to Safari extensions and extensions for Firefox, but the post is Google Chrome, why I said no thanks. Well, I didn't say no thanks to Chrome. I said no thanks to Chrome Remote Desktop, because one of the things that's in there is, if you want to use it, Chrome Remote Desktop is something where you can actually do screen sharing inside the Chrome browser. And so, if you want to connect up with somebody else, they can give you the code, and then it automatically connects the two browsers together, and you can view their screen. But the kicker is if you go to install it, the last bullet point is, perform these operations when I'm not using the application, like viewing your Chrome Remote Desktop computers, viewing and sending chat messages, knowing who you are in Google, and so on. So that stuff is available. Now, it's probably not live, but I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to potentially allow my computer to be viewed remotely. You know, am I installing a back door here? And I could not find, after about a half an hour of searching, could find nothing that talked about the security model and the wrappers around this. And so I decided not to use it. And I've had the same issue with these NPAPI extensions, even though Google is working on their own plugin extension API called Pepper. These NPAPI extensions, which are Netscape, so this goes all the way back to the 90s, are the same thing. If you go to the Chrome store and you try to install one of these extensions, it'll say things like, this can view everything in all your tabs, can see all of your web history, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, no, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
And so that was my big warning. Just be careful about what you do and think about the potential ramifications before you willy-nilly go and install stuff. So there.
We love to willy-nilly.
Yep.
That's right. So who are we going to add on? Who are we going to add in here, Mr. Wilson?
Well, let's see. We've got coming up in about a month, Mobile March. Our fourth annual event is scheduled, and of which Minovate is part of, as always. And we're pretty happy to have the agenda out there, and we thought it would be good to, with a month to go, we'd have Justin Grammans, founder of Mobile March, on with us to talk a little bit about our agenda and some of the highlights. And that's who we've got on. So please welcome to the stage Justin Grammans of Code 42, Local Tone Interactive, Recursive Awesome, Arduino Users Group, Mobile, Twin Cities. What the heck are you not doing, Justin?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me okay here?
We can. Yeah, and, sure. And Justin's a husband and father. And oh, by the way, yes, I think he does spend time with his family.
I try to as much as I can.
Yes, he does. And his son Big E just turned one. So it was a big occasion. I believe school was let out for the day, and so
kind of like that with all the people that were over here. But
you're right.
It was a good time. So yeah.
Well, Justin, we'll talk a little bit about, what you've been up to after we have a chance to take a look at the agenda. How do you want to approach this and just talk about what we've got coming up on the 21st at the Earl Brown Heritage Center?
Yeah, well, it's our fourth year. Mobile March is alive and strong. This event, we actually ended up putting together a fourth track this year. In previous years, we have only had three tracks, but we wanted to kind of change the event around a little bit. We wanted to put in more speakers. So what you'll find this year is more sessions and a little bit more of a broader content range, too. We have two sessions kind of related to business. So one's on the strategy side, and the other one is more directly related to mobile business, I guess, marketing and such. We've got a development track, and we also have a mobile gaming track, too, as well.
Uh-huh.
So, and we've got, we're also doing it on Thursday. So, this is the first time that we've actually decided to do it during the week. So yep. In the past it's been on the weekends, but, we've seen other conferences be successful during the week, and, we're going to give it a go. And, you know, that's the way we kind of run this is we kind of see what the community wants to do and how we can get the most, excitement and energy around it. We'll kind of adjust the conferences as the years go on and stuff.
Yeah. So we kind of pride ourselves on the fact that it's more of a grassroots sort of we let our attendees sort of guide where we go in the future years. So but again, there's some really great stuff here. And we're starting the day at 8 o'clock with a keynote from the global head of mobile technology over at Thomson Reuters, who is Bob Shakai. And that promises to be a nice keynote to talk about what Thomson is doing and how they're reacting to change in the mobile space.
And from his perspective, because he's looking at it on a global basis.
On a global basis, yeah. Yeah. So we're excited about that. And on the strategy side, we have what I think is what I really like to see in sessions is actual case studies. And I think we've got some good examples of that with folks presenting from places like Olson to talk about the beginning and end of mobile marketing. We also have a track or session entitled Modernizing Dog Food, which is using mobile to strengthen people's bond with their dogs. With folks over at Zeus Jones.
Fun.
So we're excited about having that. And then our Mike Bollinger, who has joined us to help out with the Mobile March this year, is also doing a mobile UI design talk on the mobile strategy side. And Justin, why don't you go ahead and highlight some of the mobile development sessions that we have? And this is the really grassroots, actually code-focused stuff.
Yeah, sure. We've got we have Jeff Brand. He's an excellent speaker. He's been with us for a number of years. Actually, he's from Microsoft. He's an evangelist over there, and he's going to talk about stuff related to Microsoft Windows. But he really has a great way of sort of breaking it down and starting with some of the sort of entry level stuff. He's going to be doing two presentations this year, one of them is going to be kind of just what's new, kind of from the outside. What can you expect to see in Windows Phone 8? And then he's going to be doing another session later on in the day that's focused much more on development, HTML, JavaScript, and kind of how you can develop Windows 8 apps using those technologies. We've also got, as I mentioned, our mobile gaming track earlier. So Martin Greider, he's going to talk about mobile board game conversions. And he's actually a guy in the community that I have a lot of respect for. Worked with him at Recursive Awesome. He was one of our employees, and he's been doing games, both board games, physical games. He's very into that too. But he's developed a number of games for the iOS platform. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to be talking about this year too as well. There is this framework called Unity. And Josh Ruiz is going to be doing a talk about that. And, in the mobile gaming community, that's actually kind of the big dog. That's what a lot of people end up writing their games in. And so for anybody that's interested in getting into kind of doing more of the mobile game development, that's going to be a really sort of great talk. because I'm kind of envisioning there's going to be some hardcore gamers there, but there's probably going to be a lot of people that are just going to be interested in it. And, you know, how can I get up to speed fast and kind of dip my toe in the water and start trying to write some games? Because people have, I guess from what I've learned, is that there's no shortage of ideas. You know, you talk to people about gaming ideas and there's millions of them out there. And so the faster we can bring these ideas to market and get people, you know, kind of writing games, the faster you can kind of prove out the marketplace and see, you know, kind of how viable your idea is. Yep. And one more we got is Sam Kirschmeyer. He's from Livefront. He's going to be talking about Bluetooth LE, which is a really sort of, I guess, way to kind of, I guess I wouldn't say shortcut, but a way to have Bluetooth interactions and stuff like that with a lot of, it's kind of the new Bluetooth stack or framework out there, and it's built into all the new iPhones coming out.
Low power consumption and greater range, right?
Exactly. There's some huge benefits just on the technology side, but also the way to interface with it is just a lot easier than the old Bluetooth stack that a lot of developers were accustomed to. So he's going to be talking all about that too as well.
There's just a few more that I want to highlight real quickly that I'm kind of looking forward to, and that is in the educational games space. Mike Reiners is going to talk a little bit about educational games, and I think there's some real potential there. And then some other things to look at is Dakota Brown is going to be doing a little session on four key principles of mobile user experience and design. And then I'm also really looking forward to Liz Tupper from Clockwork is going to put together a presentation for us on avoiding rejection from the Apple store. So if anybody's had anything to do with Apple and putting something in the store, you know it can be a minefield as far as getting, you know, how many times it takes you to get something into the Apple store. So it promises to be a really full day. As Justin alluded to, we do have more sessions. That means we've cut down the length of time for sessions. So these will be shorter, more bite-sized chunks of information and more information throughout the day. So
I have a question about one thing. I'm doing a project, and this particular organization, one aspect of the project is to go out and look at the buzz and the thoughts surrounding mobile security. And so I've downloaded studies from iPass and Symantec and Deloitte and PricewaterhouseCoopers and Sophos and all of, you know, IBM and on and on and on. And also a CIO survey that was done in 2012. And you look at kind of a ranking of concerns and fears and risk management. And it seems to be high on everybody's radar screen. And I'm wondering if, you know, for example, is this Bring Your Own Device and Mobile Device Management, FYI, by Mark Jenkins. Is he going to have anything about mobile security in there or about how to build security wrappers around your apps, things of that nature?
Well, Mark is actually in the business side of the track. Probably won't get too technical, but yes, very much so.
Okay.
Because mobile device management is a very hot topic within the business community because of the security and privacy issues. You know, I don't know how many friends I have that have, you know, have to carry around two mobile devices because they're you know, unwilling to the company, either the company or the employees unwilling to give up control of a device. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But yeah, Mark is very much going to approach it from that standpoint.
Great.
What we should probably thank also, I wanted to highlight our platinum sponsors this year, and they are Verizon Wireless, Fusion Room, who we just spoke about a little bit earlier, Livefront, and Code 42 Software. We also have many other sponsors that are involved, and hopefully you can check us out at mobilemarchtc.com, get yourself signed up, and take a look at the full agenda. So
yeah, we also got some gifts, right, this year?
Yes, we got gifts. Yeah,
which is
killing me. They're sitting in my office right now. It's killing me not to take them out and play with them. So
well, we're doing a drawing again this year.
Yeah.
And in years past, you know, we've done some mobile devices. This year we're doing four mobile devices, and we've kind of focused on tablets. They're kind of the hot thing that's been going on for the past couple of years. So we're going to be doing a drawing, a giveaway for iPad, an iPad mini, a Nexus 10, and a Nexus 7.
Sweet.
And
Phil's not eligible, right?
I could be my used iPad that I'm actually giving away, and I'm keeping the really nice one, but so they will be sealed in the box. So hopefully you guys can check it out. Well, just a brief aside, being, you know, that Code 42 is one of our platinum sponsors, and you're very active at Code. Tell me, is there anything going on that, that you guys can talk about, or kind of get, bring us up to date on what Code 42 is up to, what you're working on, what you're excited about?
Well, I mean, specific to mobile or just in general?
Just in general, just to catch up with what you and the boys at Code are doing.
Sure. Well, I mean, our big product is Crash Plan, so we've just been continuing to do a lot of great enhancements to that. This coming up year, you know, we've been focused on a lot in the area of the enterprise. And so there's still a lot of businesses out there that, you know, haven't been able to capture back up to their full potential. So we've got a lot of you know, work going on towards that across, you know, multiple operating systems and mobile devices and all that stuff. We're pretty focused on keeping things cross-platform. And then we're also working on some new stuff. We have some new work in the pipeline too as well, and I can't comment too much on that publicly right now. Right. But stuff,
well, you know, and Code 42 continues to grow. How many employees did you guys add last year?
I don't know. It's crazy. I would guess probably at the beginning of last year we might have been at 70 or 80, and now we're over 200 people. Oh, so
wow.
So there's a lot of growth. We've got three floors down there at One Main, and we're actually still already bursting at the seams again. So we have to find other solutions here in the coming months. So.
Well, and you know what's amazing to me is last week I talked about the CenturyLink coming to the house and saying, oh, by the way, we've got fiber right out here on the road, and now you can get 20 megabit per second down, and I think it was 5 up or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bandwidth just continues to increase. And so, you know, the potential to be able to back things up is great. And obviously with mobile, it's a key part to be able to tap into your files too.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, right now, and we're not the only one who kind of can't back up mobile devices too well. Apple's got some restrictions on kind of the sort of sandboxing model, but
right.
No, but I mean, you can get access to your files, you know, anywhere. And what's nice about, Crash Plan is that, you know, it's continually running in the background, so it's kind of like a one-way sync in a lot of ways. If you're out on the go and your laptop is continually backing your stuff up, either from home or wherever it might be, you can access those files via your mobile device. And yeah, you're right, with the whole sort of like bandwidth thing, it's making things a lot easier. We do offer a service where we'll send you a hard drive, and you can throw your, you know, 80 gigs, whatever, 100 gigs or whatever you have of data on there, and you can send it back to us, and we'll throw it into our cloud the same day.
Yep.
So, hey, Justin, go ahead, Graham. I'm sorry.
This is Graham. I got a question for you, Justin. How does Code 42 position itself against Dropbox and Box? I mean, do you guys consider them competition? Certainly you must in the enterprise, right?
Well, with the Crash Plan product, it's not really. I mean, we offer management of your data, which they don't. You know, we have a centralized console, you can, through that console, there's all sorts of stuff you can do on people's machines that are running Crash Plan in terms of updating settings and changing policies and all that sort of stuff. We also offer a private cloud solution. So customers will go ahead and buy a rack or two racks of our stuff, and they'll go ahead and put it in their data center, and the data won't leave their four walls, right? Their premises at all. Dropbox doesn't offer any solution like that. So from a security standpoint, our data, you know, we're just a lot more flexible. And we're also a lot more tuned to what the enterprise needs in terms of just management of that many, you know, computers. To be honest, the enterprise is pretty scared about Dropbox. I mean, it's really easy to get up and going, but there's data that's leaking out of these enterprises going off into what's effectively Amazon. You know, it's all backed by Amazon's cloud. Uh-huh. And so whatever Amazon wants to tell you, businesses, their competition and whatnot are very, very concerned about having data stored up there on the cloud, especially
you know, with the whole security issues.
Interesting. So, so the enterprise really represents a big opportunity for Code 42.
Absolutely.
Who are some of the marquee enterprise clients? I remember hearing Apple is, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Any Apple new is. Ones that they've announced recently or?
You know, it's funny. I hear all sorts of names, and I just have to be careful because I don't know what I can say publicly and what I can't. So
it would be on the website for anyone that website, wants to check it out. Yeah,
we heard Graham Thickens Marketing is a
Graham Thickens is a
growing
enterprise.
Yeah, I use it.
So I also wanted to put out there that Code 42 and I think Justin has a lot to do with this, but Code 42 in general has always made their space very accessible for a lot of startups or startup user groups and meetups and things like that, and it's really nice to have that that resource, and thanks very much for making that available, Justin, because Mobile Twin Cities was there the other day. I noticed that there's a gaming meeting there that coming up, and I know Arduino meets there as well, so well done.
We would like to provide space for any tech groups really that are interested, and just providing a home and a place for people to get together. And typically we will pick up the pizza for it, whatever group it is. And we've got a keg there and some pop, whatever you want. So,
well, all the vital resources are there. Beer.
Well, and Matt Dornquist, your illustrious CEO and founder, has always been so helpful to other startups in town too. I know I've sent some of my startup friends his way, and he always takes the time to try to help them, and that's a very laudable thing. And we really appreciate that of Matt.
For sure. Well, yeah, I mean, he wants just tech to succeed in Minnesota, and he goes back to the old control data days, and he kind of, laments it at how good things kind of were back then, just from a technology standpoint, mainly focused on software. I mean, I still think Minnesota's great in the whole sort of med tech area and everything, but in terms of software development companies, there's not a whole lot in town. And we're really trying to kind of stand out. Code 42 is trying to really, kind of start to sort of, or I guess in a lot of ways, restart this sort of software movement. But if it's technology related at all, Matthew's got a lot of experience in that area, and he's definitely willing to help out anybody and just share what he knows some directions you can build your business on.
Yep, he's a great guy. Say hi to him for us, please.
Yep, I will.
Yep, and to your new head of sales, Brian Bell, too. Well, actually, he's COO, I believe. Isn't that his title?
Yes, he is.
Another great guy. Top Gun pilot.
Yes, yeah, he is. He came out of the military.
Compellent most recently. Dell Compellent, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, he took Compellent to, from nothing all the way up to the whole acquisition through, with Dell and everything. And, we're trying to be along that same sort of trajectory. Of that growth, we'd be very, very happy. So you always try and put yourself in the company of people who have kind of done that before and have, great sort of leadership skills that can guide you to, the same success that they had in the past, maybe even bigger. So
there you go.
Well, just him being a Top Gun pilot, I mean, that's not really that big of a deal because I've seen the movie.
Looks easy.
Yeah. All right. When I sit down to my simulator, it's a lot.
That's right.
Well, let's see. Tickets are available for Mobile March right now at mobilemarchtc.com and via Eventbrite. So we'd love to have you come out. There are a limited number of tickets available. So do get there. If you're familiar with the Earl Brown Center, it is a more intimate location, which is what we like. It gives you a little more opportunity to mingle and talk. And again, what the goal of Mobile March is really to bring both developers and business, and mobile business and mobile users together to see basically how the other groups operate and function. And I think a better understanding of how that happens leads to better mobile, a better mobile lifestyle for everybody. So hopefully that you can check that out. And we have special gifts for everybody this year. So you'll have to be sure to come and join us.
For sure. Sweet. For sure. And I will throw in too that A-Press, again, they've been a longtime sponsor of ours. And they donated some books. So we'll be doing some giveaways too.
Oh, nice.
For those.
Heard of books. You've heard Good. Of books. Yes.
it was funny. I mean, they sent me a message and they said, you know, do you mind if we send you paper books again instead of an ebook format? And I said, well, I'll take whatever I can get, you know, but at some point we'll probably start getting ebooks from them. But this year, yeah, we've got books on Android, got books on iOS, and even a Windows Phone development book too as well. So we'll be giving those away.
Great. So whether you're a developer, longtime developer, or a new developer, great opportunity for you, and also business executives. It's again, it's during the week, so we know that most people would rather take a day off work to come to an event rather than a day off their weekend. So hopefully you can come join us. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Sounds
it
great.
Will be for sure.
And also thanks to Justin for being part of it and helping to organize it. Also to Linda Cummings, who put together the majority of the business agendas and tracks, and to our sponsorship folks and sponsorship director, which is Mike Bollinger. So congratulations to all of them. And it looks like it's going to be a great event.
Yes, it definitely great. Will be.
Well, Justin, thanks for being on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Anytime. Get on. I love chatting with you guys. And, this is I really enjoy listening to the podcast. I listen to it, as often as I can. So it's a great pleasure to be on.
Just real quickly, tell us a little bit about Arduino and the Arduino users group, because you've sort of become enamored with hardware these days. And can you give us a little rundown on the activity there and what you've got cooking?
Sure. The group was started by me and another guy named Jake Behrens. He works with me at Code 42. Both, mainly from the standpoint of stuff that we're just interested in. So that's the way a lot of these groups start, is I'm like, I have an itch that I want to scratch. And so I actually got into Arduino via Android. There is an accessory development kit you can get for Android. And I started kind of playing around with, what can I do on my Android phone to kind of control various hardware devices. Maybe I would want to have a remote control or something like that, that it would be, you'd use via Android, that would talk, that would communicate, or I guess, hook up to, some sort of, some sort of light sensor or something like that, that would turn on and off your TV. And as I started playing around with that, I'm like, well, what is this really, are this Arduino stuff going on under the covers? And I actually found out that it's basically a very, very simplistic way to develop, to basically write software for hardware. And it's really it's kind of geared towards artists and people that are just kind of tinkerers and experimenters and hobbyists. It's really in some ways I say quote unquote kind of dumbed down, but it's really sort of simple way that you can get up and running with it. And for relatively low cost, on the order of $20, $30, $40 or so, you can get a very sort of simple kit. And it's a hardware board, and you can plug it in, and it there is a development environment you can run on Windows or Mac or Linux, and it basically allows you to communicate with this board, and then you can start buying sensors, start buying motors, start buying all sorts of stuff. And it's kind of brings me back to the old days of the Erector set, or kind of when you were a kid and you just kind of had a chance to kind of start playing around with things that happen in the physical world and being able to interface with them on a software level. And so long story short is I kind of started this group because I thought this was kind of cool. And lo and behold, there's a lot of people in the Twin Cities that are kind of tinkering around with it and playing around with it. Some of it's an Arduino, Raspberry Pi. A lot of people might have heard about that. And that's along the same sort of vein. And I really kind of opened up the group to say, hey, bring your ideas here. You can show off what you've been doing. It's Arduino.mn is the website, and there's a lot of stuff around Arduino, but it's really sort of an open hardware platform group, and people have brought all sorts of unique ideas that they've been kind of playing around with, and guy has a Morse code generator that he showed off. Other people have done light meters and sound sensors, and kind of a guy did a choose your own adventure game that kind of prints out. It has like a little printer. Quick printer in it, and it'll print out, as the adventure is going on. So anyways, there's all sorts of neat stuff. And so we started it last June and been able to kind of keep it going. We're having people being able to come in and show stuff. And last month, actually, an electrical engineer came in and showed how you actually design a board, a PCB board. And so it's, we've done little hack fests here and there, and just, you know, as long as the interest is there, Code 42 is willing to host the group. And now I've actually partnered up with the Hack Factory, and they're over in South Minneapolis, and they have some Arduino meetups there, and we've done some Hackfests there with them as well. So,
well, and plus the tech guys that I've known about for years, Leonardo's Basement.
Yes.
They're doing stuff for kids, and what better way to introduce, you know, the future leaders in the Internet of Things than getting kids involved with this.
Right. Right. Yep. Absolutely. So, I know about the Leonardo's Basement. Also, there's a place called The Works too, as well. And they're really focused on, you know, kids and getting science and technology started out. So yeah, you're right. I mean, and it's funny. It's one of those things where me, even as an adult, you know, I within the first 5 minutes, I just, my eyes lit up, you know, as I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's that simple for me to take a sensor and talk to this and plug that in and kind of do these sort of mashups in hardware. It's just like the possibilities are just kind of infinite. And you're right, with the whole sort of Internet of Things really catching on here and you know, this year and the years to come.
Yep.
This is a great way to have people start dreaming up new ideas.
Do you know, by any chance, there was just an announcement, maybe a week ago, about Raspberry Pi hit 1 million shipment. They shipped 1 million Raspberry Pis.
Wow. Do you know, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Do you know how many kits have been, have gone out for Arduino?
Oh, no, I don't. That's pretty interesting. I'm guessing it's at least that, you know, the platform's been around for a long time, for a number of years. I want to say maybe 2007, 2008 or so is when it like really started. But it's really taken off over here in the past year or so. But there's businesses out there, you know, like SparkFun, Adafruit, and that they've kind of made a business out of just selling, you know, motors and sensors and boards and all that sort of stuff. So there obviously is a market there, and I'd be surprised if it's not over 1 million. I'm guessing it is.
Wow.
Well, I know I know the Arduino booth was very active at CES because I was there talking to the SmartThings folks who had one of the stations in their big booth. There were probably 10 or 20 companies represented within this Arduino booth.
Yeah. I mean, they're actually creating an Arduino board. The SmartThings guys are, and so people like myself and people in the Arduino community will actually be able to start plugging in some of the Arduino stuff into this board. And the board's going to be, from my knowledge, I haven't actually received anything from them yet. But then the board will actually be able to. They have these things called shields that basically plug into the Arduino board, and so they're going to have their own shield. And so you should be able to start, you know, using and speaking the Arduino language to then be a part of the SmartThings ecosystem. Is really what I've seen. So,
well, I can only imagine. I just saw on Wikipedia here, as of May 2011, more than 300,000 Arduino units were in use around the world. So I can just imagine, because we're not that far away from being 2 years past that. So there's got to be at least 1 million out there, I would guess.
Yeah, well, no, those are the ones that are, I guess I'd be interested to say what they say in use, you know. I mean, there's tons of people out there that just buy them and just play around with them and then never leaves, you know, their house. So because there's people that have, I mean, there's actually Arduino out in, you know, you might buy a particular piece of equipment and it'll actually be running Arduino inside of it and you won't even know,
yep.
You know. So
good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff.
All right.
Well, Justin, right. Thanks very much for being on with us. Try to get some rest this weekend.
I will. I'm not sure if it came across, but my nose is pretty stuffed up, and I'm feeling not 100% under the weather. But I'm glad I could make the call here today. And again, I appreciate being a part of it.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Take care.
And we'll see you out at Mobile March.
Sounds good.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
He is a constantly moving target. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Busy guy.
Wow. Very much so. So what else we got going on? Let's see. I wanted to touch base with, guys, I just want you to know that my Pebble watch is in Lakeville.
What?
No.
It's true.
No.
It's in Lakeville.
Yep. Is it in your house?
Not yet. It's on a mail truck. So I'm guessing
today
we still have Saturday delivery.
It'll show up today.
Oh my God!
I want to see a full report on a mail.
Yes. Well, I want you to take video. I want you to post a video of you unboxing it, putting it on.
Oh, you want me to do the unboxing thing?
Everything.
Really, I don't know. I really don't do the unboxing thing.
That's
well.
Excessive.
I've never quite understood that whole concept.
Yeah, like, no. It's already been done.
People that dwell on the packaging. Oh, this is nice. Who the hell cares? Open the box.
Yeah.
Well, do a post on it anyway.
I will, of course.
Yeah.
Because everybody's waiting to hear, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been the subject of much discussion. No, I mean, your particular.
and ridicule. Yes, I would. You know, and ridicule.
As often as we can. What color did you get anyway?
Oh, just black. I'm not a disc.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I look at these like nano watches and stuff, and I didn't realize Apple actually sells them on Apple.com. But the choices of band are white and hot pink. And it's like, I don't think I'm going to be ordering one, you know, black. But
I don't know. You know, you're okay with your own sexuality, Graham. So you could wear hot pink.
I'm
not okay with my own
sexuality. I'm not okay with doing that. I might be okay with my own sexuality, but
okay.
Band.
All right. Well, the Chromebook Pixel, I saw this post on The Verge, and it looks pretty interesting. Looks very nice. It's like a Retina display Chromebook, right?
Yeah, it seems a little excessive to me, though.
Wi-Fi only for $12.99. Who's going to buy this thing? The only people that are going to use them are Google employees who get them for free.
Yeah, or if you're like founders of Google or whatever. It's a crazy idea because, you know, if it was a $200 machine like some of them are, that makes some sort of sense because it only runs a web browser.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're going to spend the same amount of money you would for a MacBook Air or a high-end Windows, you know, PC, it's so limited. I can't believe that you know, anyone would really seriously take this on.
Yeah, I agree. And even though Julio seems by his tweets and various posts to be very, Julio Ojeda Zapata, the writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, seems very excited about the Chromebook in general. And it doesn't have his hands on one of these, but seems interested and kind of enthused about it. But I can't even see him recommending this at, you know, $1,500 for an LTE version or a $1,300 for a Wi-Fi version. Man, you're right. It just seems so expensive.
I mean, he'll get one for free to review, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
At least use for a fair amount of time. But yeah, it's kind of over the top. I mean, you can't do any desktop software with the thing. It's all right. In a browser. I mean, you can do with a $499 Retina iPad. You can do everything that thing will do, right?
Right.
And you can download the Chrome app.
Right.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yep.
Right?
Well, and if you want to use it full screen, you can do that. And then you've got your Chrome OS, if you will. But what do you guys think of Google Glasses?
Well, now that Warby Parker's going to have frames for them, now that's got to get a lot of people's interest.
Who is?
Warby Parker.
Huh.
Is going to design. Didn't you see that TechCrunch story? I put it in the
show. Oh, yeah. There it is. Okay.
There's talk that they're going to come out and actually try to turn this thing into something that might be halfway fashionable. You know, and I'm sure that Google approached them, but they're sort of the hot eyeglass frames startup.
Right.
And maybe they can actually make these things look like something you'd want to wear. You know,
the thing about Google Glass is, when they did that video and that was kind of cool, but it was all, you know, extreme sports sorts of stuff and so forth. And, you know, spinning kids around and doing all kinds of things. And I thought, you know, that if I was going to buy Google Glass, it would be because I'm on a trip in Germany and I'm at, you know, some miscellaneous tourist spot and the Google Glass is showing me all kinds of things so I can learn about my environment, what I'm seeing and so on.
Right.
But you know, I worry about, cause I know what I'm like when I'm looking at a map on my phone and I'm walking along a sidewalk, you know, and I once walked into a fire hydrant and, you know, yep. I worry about stepping off a curb in front of a bus.
Yep.
So I can only imagine what Google, you know, wearing augmentation glasses.
Yeah, they'll have like a warning, you know, bus to your left. So. Yeah.
A big flashing yellow thing.
Yeah.
Comes up.
Oh, geez. Right. Yeah.
Out to hit a bus. But yeah, you talk about your ADD. I mean, holy God, you know, being, you know, interrupted, or, you know, it's crazy. I can't. By the way, did you see what Conan O'Brien did? He did a video. He mounted one on his butt or something.
Oh, jeez.
What? Google ass. I think he called it Google.
That's right. That's right.
He posted,
how fun.
Look at it. I saw a post scroll by that Conan was having at it, you know.
Oh, how funny. How funny.
I like that.
All right. I'll find that and put that in the show notes. That's hilarious.
It's you know, the whole glass thing is just a little too Geordi for me. So,
well, we'll see. I mean, you know, it may very well be something that, you know, all of us look at, but I would and consider, but I would prefer to still have augmented reality through my phone. So, you know, I can just hold my phone up and do it. I don't need to record my life. I'm not going to buy a dashboard cam in the hopes that maybe a meteor will land or I'll.
Missing out, man. You're missing out.
I know. I know.
And you're not going to jump out of a plane and shoot a video.
Probably not. Probably not. Well, hey, what events are coming up, boys? Anything that's new?
That we haven't already mentioned, like overnight website challenge.
Yeah. What's this, the exploding toolbox, what you need? I think we talked about that, right? Last time.
Oh, yeah. That's the Business Marketing Association Minnesota chapter. It's a new thing, but it's kind of an interesting panel discussion coming up. I know Ben Wallace is going to be on it talking about the various tools that are available to marketers now. So it's maybe going to have a little more of an analytics sort of focus. But and I can't remember who the other panelists are right off the top of my head, but there's, I think, four folks and a moderator, and they're holding it at the Metropolitan on the morning of March 5th. It will be good. It will get into some serious discussions about what tools are available to marketers to do their thing these days, and I'm sure people will learn about some that they didn't know about at that event.
Yep. All right. So am I missing anything?
Well, Minibar's coming up April 6th and
Tech
Spring Fuse Conference. MHTA Spring Conference is coming up.
Yep. Okay.
So lots of stuff going on.
We'll have it all in the show notes.
Yep. So don't miss it. And we will see you next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take care, guys.
Times are tough, baby, and hustling is really on. Times are tough, baby, and hustling is really on. And all the good jobs are gone. Sorry to say,
to die.